Like you to take your Bibles, if you would, either the one that you brought with you to church or the one that's in the pew in front of you, and follow along Psalm 141 today. As you've heard Pastor Flaw mention, during the summer we're going to be looking at the Psalms, and they are wonderful indeed. When Pastor Flaw assigned this Psalm to me, I looked it up right away, and then I thought, I know why he's given me this Psalm. In my Bible, there are headings to each of the Psalms. And the heading for this Psalm for me is this: Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Let me read that to you again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. I called him up immediately. And I said, is there some hidden message? Not too hidden for Pastor Flaw. Is there a hidden message? And he just laughed and said, preach away, brother. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be looking at watch and pray today. There's some guideline in the bulletin for you to follow, too, if you want to take some notes. There are some verses I'll be giving you along the way. And I pray for the radio listeners today that you would listen carefully so that you can jot some of those extra verses down, because we probably won't be having time to read them all. As you consider watching and praying, as you consider what it means, what is the very foundation for prayer? What is it that God is telling us in this psalm? Follow along with me in verse 1 and verse 2. O Lord, I call upon thee, hasten to me, give ear to my voice when I call to thee. May my prayer be counted as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. When you hear David pray in such a way, and this is a psalm that God inspired through his servant David, when you hear him pray in such a way, you see some real haste that's given to his prayer. Probably because David was facing some great trial. Maybe you're facing a great trial today, something that's causing you to run to God today. I pray that you would run to God every day. I pray every day when your feet hit the floor that you would say, the one I need to walk towards today is God Almighty. The one I need to lift up today is God Almighty. The one whose name I need to come before him is the name of Jesus, to God Almighty today, to make haste to come to God. Who does that? Well, someone who has a relationship with God, someone who's in childlike faith. That's what really God desires. As you see that in the verse that's on the screen before you, don't you notice the clarity of that? I call upon thee, make haste to me. The very fact that God is one who will respond to the call of his very own children. There's been many a time when I've called upon my father to help me. When I think in the past of the one that God gave me as a dad, I can't help but thank him again and again and again. As I called upon my dad, he always wanted to make haste to meet that need that was in my life, even into my adult years, even into the days prior to his passing from this life. My father was one that always hastened to the voice when it was my voice. I appreciate that. God feels that way about you today. When God hears your voice, he hastens to it today. God is sensitive. He knows your voice, and you know his. This is speaking of a relationship of personal faith. In John chapter 10, we see that so clearly when the words of Jesus say to us, the shepherd knows the sound of the lambs, and the lambs know the sound of the shepherd's voice. I pray that that describes your prayer life, that you know the one to make haste to come to, the one that you can call on with the assurance that he recognizes your voice and that he responds to you. I pray that you have that type of a communication with God today, and that it be love sweet incense in your life. Look at what it says in verse 2. May my prayer be counted as incense before thee. One of my daughters kind of got into that, those oils. What do they call them? Essential oils. Thank you so much, ladies. That tells me you've been wasting a lot of money. And she really got into these essential oils. Whenever I go down to stay at her place in Cherokee, Iowa, she's got one of those things in the room, and it's got a fan on it and everything. Tell you the truth, it doesn't smell all that great. But she tells me it makes me more pleasant to be with. Now, if that helps her, then we'll let that thing burn. But you know, have you ever thought of your prayers as being an incense in the very breathing of God? As you think of God's nostrils breathing in the incense of your prayers? The last thing I do at night before going to sleep is pray. I pray myself to sleep. When I was a new Christian, I used to be ashamed of going to bed at night and then praying and then falling asleep as I would pray. And I would think, boy, a guy should not fall asleep when you're talking with God. You ever had one of those things and you've been at someone's house a little bit too late and your eyelids are drooping? At 74, this happens regularly for me, even in the morning. And you're talking to someone and your eyelids are going down and all of a sudden you're asleep. And then a little bit later you wake up and you think, how long have I been sitting here in this chair embarrassing myself? Well, that's how I used to think about falling to sleep when I would pray at night. And then my father told me, his voice told me, there's no better way to go to sleep than to go to sleep praying. And there's no better way to wake up than to wake up praying. And that's the truth. That's the very aroma that's pleasing to God. So as I lay my head on my pillow, if I have a special pastoral concern, a family concern, just a word of praise, I lift it up to God. And I don't know when it happens, but somewhere along the line, I drop off. And then I tell my beautiful wife, you know what, honey? Even my snoring is pleasant to God. Do you have a prayer life? Really? Do you have a prayer life? When you wake up in the morning, what's the foundation? Do you have that living relationship with the living, eternal God? Oh, how he wants you to quickly come to him, and he will quickly come to you. Oh, how he desires to breathe in your prayers. Well, the second thing I'd like you to note in this particular psalm is this: watching and praying in righteousness. Prayer does have some terms, the terms of prayer. And when you look at verse 3 and then verse 4, follow along with me. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. The prayer terms are these: to come before God in righteousness. I think of this thought. You know, there should be heart and mouth transformation in a believer's life. Your Sunday language should be your only language. I've heard it said so often during the years of my ministry when someone will maybe swear and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I used my everyday language. I should have used my Sunday language. Well, to the believer, your Sunday language should be your everyday language. James chapter 3 makes it so clear when James in chapter 3 says, if you have a well and you're taking water out of that well, does that well produce good water and bitter water at the same time? Well, the truth is no. And so when you think about your speech, when you think about coming before God, what's your language like during the week? Do you use foul language and then kind of excuse it? Do you use gossipy language? Use boastful language. See, there's all kinds of language that we need to ask God to cleanse our heart from. Because we want to come on good praying ground when we come before God. We want to come with a mouth that has set a guard before it. Oh God, set a guard before my mouth, that my words might not be foul, that my words might not be unpleasant, that my words might not be critical or gossipy, but that my words might be pleasing to your ears, O God. That my language might always be Sunday language when I'm coming into the presence of God. Makes all the difference in your prayer life. Also, besides your mouth, we need to think about how we're living. Notice what it says in verse 4. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. When you think about this, in the world, but not of the world. Jesus even prayed that for us in John chapter 17. When Jesus, this high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17, where he's praying for believers, he says, Lord, they're in the world, but keep them from the world. That's a vital thing to understand. Notice here, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity. That speaks to me of compromise. It's really hard to have an effective prayer life, a meaningful prayer life, if you're compromised in your living. If the delicacies, as he speaks of here in the end of verse 4, if the delicacies of the world are the very things you're seeking after, it's really hard to come into the presence of God in prayer. When I was living a disobedient life, when I was living in sin, it was impossible for me to come before my Father, my earthly Father, and really expect that he would be happy with me, that he would be eager to do the things I would ask of him. Most often, my Father would have to say in those moments, you know, Michael, we need to talk through some things first. Is there something you need to talk through with God today? Have you been living in some compromise? Have you been bent towards the things of the world? Have you inclined yourself more to the world than you have towards heaven? Have the delicacies of the world been drawing you in, and you'd rather eat of those delicacies, seeming delicacies, rather than the true Word of God? I pray today that you would see that coming on right praying terms is important. J. Vernon McGee, who I appreciated in the early days of my Christian life, he was a pastor out in Los Angeles, California, Church of the Open Door. And I, as a new believer going to a Bible college, I went to his church. And there I heard the unvarnished word of God as J. Vernon McGee would preach that word. And one of the statements that he made was this about the Christian life. In the world, but not of the world. The boat is in the ocean, but the ocean isn't in the boat. That's how you come to God on good praying terms. Yes, we're in the world, but may the world not be in us. And then thirdly, watching and praying, if we would, in spirit. Prayer spirit. A spirit of humility. Notice in the verse that's before you right now on the screen. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. Their judges are thrown down by the sides of the rock, and they hear my words, for they are pleasant. As when one plows and breaks open the earth, our bones have been scattered at the mouth of Sheol. Willing to be corrected. Willing to be corrected. That's part of humility. Notice it again in that verse 5. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. You know, when I was kidding with Pastor Flaw about he picked this psalm for me because of set a guard before my mouth. In all reality, I have to always face that one of the greatest needs in my life is to watch my quick speech. The Bible says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. I've often had it just backwards. I oftentimes have been quick to say something, and oftentimes what I've said has been hurtful or unnecessary. And I've needed to be corrected. And if I want to have a prayerful spirit that responds well to God and one that God can respond to, I need humility. I need to come before Him in that humbleness of spirit in my prayer life. And so to do that, I need to receive His correction. And He brings that correction in many forms. Sometimes it can be through a spouse. Sometimes through a child, sometimes through a trusted friend, or sometimes through a very honest person who maybe doesn't know you that well but is willing to speak the truth in love and point out that you said something that was hurtful or unnecessary. I want to receive that. Why? Well, first and foremost, because I want to be pleasing to God. But secondly, thinking of prayer, if I'm going to have an effective prayer life, I need to have humility. I need to come before Him humbly. And notice as the psalmist does that, notice that he keeps praying for these folks because evidently some of these ones that he is praying for, did you follow it along there and see in verse 6 when he says, and their judges are thrown down by the sides of the rock and they hear my words for they are pleasant. Evidently some of these that had confronted David were themselves in need of being confronted. How did David do it, though? When he said something to them, they received it as pleasant words, not as defensive ones. You know, that's when I know I'm getting it, when somebody speaks to me. When someone speaks to me about something in my life that I need to be corrected in, if my reaction is to point out something in their life they need to be corrected in, then I haven't gotten it. If I get defensive right away, then I know I haven't gotten it. And my spirit isn't what God wants it to be. But when I have received it, and yet in my heart I see something where they need my counsel, and I know my spirit is right, they receive it as pleasant words. They don't receive it as harsh or defensive words. That's a wonderful thing to realize today. And then wanting to be effective. Notice in the end of that verse, as one plows and breaks open the earth, our bones have been scattered at the mouth of Sheol. Just a few months ago, the ground was being broken up for seeds to be put into it. A lot of farmers around the country have been doing that. They've been pouring themselves out. I want to be an effective Christian. I want to pour myself out. That's what Paul did when you read in the book of Philippians and you see that Paul poured himself out in Philippians 4, poured himself out for the sake of the souls of people. I pray that that humble spirit of pouring yourself out, being more interested in others than you are yourself, being more concerned for the souls, the eternal well-being. Notice he poured himself out all the way to Sheol. As you think of the days that God has given you, I pray that in humility you would pour yourself out, that it wouldn't be all about you, but that it would be all about God. and all about the eternal souls that God desires to bring to himself. Then looking at the fourth point, watching and praying in confidence. Prayer's focus, the very focus of prayer. Notice it here. For my eyes are toward you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me, and from the snares of those who do iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. Eyes wide open. Eyes wide open. I remember the first time I saw someone praying with their eyes wide open. I actually thought it was wrong, and then I realized, well, your eyes are wide open watching them. When do our eyes need to be wide open? Well, I think in this, that we might see the Lord in all things. When I got up this morning and I was thinking about the privilege of coming and preaching the Word of God, I wanted God to open my eyes wide to see Him. God, you be the one today to fill me. You speak through me today, Lord. Help me to see, God, what you see. As I was coming to church this morning and praying, I was praying for you. I didn't know if you'd be in this service or not. I was praying for those that are live streaming. I was praying for those listening by way of radio. I wanted my eyes to be wide open to God and to see what God sees. And undoubtedly, as many of you came into church today, what he saw were people, some of you at least, that were really eagerly wanting to praise him, that your eyes were looking towards him, that you wanted to hear his word, that you wanted to grow in your spiritual life, that you really were desiring God today. Then undoubtedly, God saw some of you coming into church today and just going through the routine. By the way, I've gone through that routine myself. You came into church because it's Sunday, and I'm glad you're here because it's Sunday. But then God caused me to pray, Lord, help those that are just coming in the routine of worship to be shaken out of that routine today, to really hear you in a clear, crystal clear way today and follow you, to be not only hearers but doers of your word. Then God helped me to see today that some of you came into this sanctuary maybe with a very heavy heart. Maybe for something you're going through or a loved one is going through today. As I drove into the parking lot, on my heart was the Benson family, Pastor Craig Benson, who formerly served out by Mitchell. His dear wife, Deb, passed away night before last. A quick death due to cancer, much like Jeannie passed away quickly. And I was praying for Pastor Benson, for his children and grandchildren today. Praying for you as you enter into the worship. If you have something heavy today, some physical need, some financial need, some relationship need, that God would speak to your heart today. Then I know that some of you came in here because you were drug in here today. You had the same drug problem that I've had, being drugged to church. Probably would like to be someplace else. Maybe struggling right now to even listen to me. Maybe you're not even listening right now. I'd like to say, wake up just for a moment. God's thinking about you today, too. He wants to bring you out of that stubbornness, that resistance. He wants to bring you into the joy of sins forgiven and new life in Jesus. Eyes wide open today. Focused on the way and being aware of the Lord. Also, notice it says being aware of Satan and the traps that Satan sets. Think of that word in 1 Peter chapter 5 that speaks of Satan. Prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. In prayer, I want God to make my eyes wide open that I can see the traps that Satan tries to set for me. Traps as close as my own home. the foolish trap of getting into an argument with someone in my own family, the foolish trap of entering into the world and letting the ocean come into the boat rather than the boat just being in the ocean. Oh God, I want my eyes to be wide open today. Help me, even as I pray with David, let my eyes be wide open. But also let my eyes be prayerfully closed. Look at that last part of verse 10. He says, let the wicked fall into their own nets. You know, the world will be the world. I don't need to let the world get into my boat. The world is going to be the world. I need to have a heart for the world, want to rescue as many as I can, bring them out of that drowning sea. But the world is going to be the world. But look at me, and I hope you can look at you with your eyes prayerfully closed at the very end, while I pass by safely. I don't know about you, but when I go on a ride at one of the amusement parks, I don't do that too often anymore, praise be to God. When I go to a ride at one of those amusement parks, and they have, you know, where they take the pictures and then want you to buy it afterwards, every one of those pictures, my eyes will be closed. And if you have Colleen sitting next to me, as we did when we went to Disney World with the grandkids, her eye, she's got a big smile on her face. Her face is almost cracking because of the smile. Eyes wide open. Mine prayerfully closed. Let me make it to the end of the ride, dear God. It's a wonderful thing to know that heaven's my home. I'm headed to heaven today. I wrote Pastor Benson that today. I said, dear brother, we're headed to heaven today. My eyes are prayerfully closed, remembering you and your family as we pass through this barren land. Notice the last thing on the screen today. Watching and praying is the best way to be ready for Christ's return. Did you know that my dad died right after praying? We were gathered at the family farm, my sisters and myself. I was in my mom's recliner, which she called her electric chair. My dad was in his hospice bed right there beside me. I asked my dad if he could lead us in prayer one more time, and he did. Then my sister Priscilla put his breathing apparatus on him, a nebulizer, and then when she came to take it off, she said, Michael, I think Dad's gone. My dad's last word was amen. May your first word and last word have God at the front and the back in the amen of life. Father in heaven, bless this to our hearts. Amen.
Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800, or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We are also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.